Hey everyone, we are continuing in a short series that we started last week, and the title of it is They Will Know We Are Christians By Our, and we've blanked out the word. We've changed it. There was a song that was very popular, I know, not long after I became a follower of Jesus. It was called They Will Know We Are Christians By Our Love. I agree with that sentiment completely. In fact, someone emailed me last week and said they were concerned that we had, in our advertising, had crossed out the word love as if that's not important. It really is. But we did that deliberately to catch people's attention so that we could be specific about what we mean by love. What does it mean as a follower of Jesus? What does it mean that I love God and I love my neighbor? Which is what Jesus said are the essentials. He said you can boil down all that the Bible teaches into these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, he said, loving our neighbor is to have that same kind of love that we have for God. And so we're trying to detail this. Last week, we looked at this idea of people that are genuine followers of Christ. They have a devotion to him that encompasses everything. It's not just admiration. It's not just appreciation or emotion toward him. It is this heartfelt devotion toward Christ that encompasses everything that we are. You know, we live at a time where so often when people that are called Christians make the news, it's not very good. There's a lot of negative press. I'm not saying that all of it's earned by any stretch. I think there's some pent-up frustration that is going on right now. I think there are a lot of battles that are happening. But those of us that really know Jesus, we've been called to live distinctly Christ-honoring lives. And we need to figure out what that looks like. Right now, one of the concerns I have, and this is just my personal bent, I'm not speaking for the church, but I hear people that claim to be followers of Jesus just arguing for their rights. For instance, that churches have a right to be meeting and the government should not say anything about it. And I understand there are issues here, but one of the things that concerns me is that as a follower of Jesus, I should be more concerned about what is right versus my rights. At New Hope, we've been unapologetically holding off until recently on having in-person services. And our reason for that is not being fearful of what the government might say or just trying to fit in culturally. We're trying to live very carefully with what is loving our neighbor and what is wise. And again, there may be some debate back and forth, but wisdom seems to dictate right now that being careful related to the coronavirus and the spread of it, wearing masks, sanitizing and all that, that's just a way of showing love to our neighbor, not in any way trying to be lemmings that are following some kind of political agenda, but to love our neighbor, to care about them. It seems to me that's what we should be focused on. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off. Anyway, last week we looked at this idea that true followers of Jesus show it by their devotion to him. And this week we're going to be looking at kind of a way to measure that devotion. So let me ask you a question. You can, on the chat feature, you can answer this to the host. But what I want you to think about is this. What does a PGA golf instructor, an FPU teacher, that's a Financial Peace University teacher, someone who's been trained in the FPU model of dealing with finances, and a CSCS, which is a Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, someone that's gone through all kind of training, a CSCS trainer have in common? What are these three? A trained golf instructor, a financial specialist in dealing with issues of budgeting and dealing with debt, and a personal trainer with a high training resume. What do they have in common with Jesus? What do they have in common? Those three have in common with Jesus. All three are trained, they're qualified. in their respective fields. All of them have the capacity to really make big differences in people's life. In fact, my guess is any one of these three, if you go to, they will say, look, I can guarantee some positive change as a result of the training I'm going to give you. But here, what is the one thing they have in common with Jesus? Have you written it down? Have you sent it in? Well, here it is. They will guarantee positive results if you obey their instructions. Guarantee positive results if you obey their instructions. This is, we understand this in a lot of arenas, but sometimes I think we miss this with Jesus. You see, with the golf professional or the finance professional or the personal training professional, if you show up at the golf course, if you show up at a class, or if you show up at a gym, there's no guarantee anything's going to change. Any more than if you and I show up at a church, if we read our Bible, we show up at small group or this kind of thing, that there's anything positive going to change in our life. The issue is not my proximity to the instruction. It's, do I do what these instructors say? Am I willing to obey their instructions? Jesus gave a simple metric for you and I to measure our love and devotion to him, and that is obedience. Listen to what he says. If you accept my commands and obey them, or let me go back. Those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. It's a promise Jesus makes. And he says, if you will accept me and obey me, then there's a benefit that comes from that. And that is, you're going to be in my presence. I'll be with you. I'll be with you all the way. The reason so many who claim to be followers of Jesus, the reason so many of them don't experience this sense of peace, this sense of connectedness, this sense of joy, this sense of hope that God offers is simply because they're not choosing to obey. They've decided they want to go their own way, or they'll be selectively obeying. And that's just like not obeying at all. If you accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, that means he's the boss. He's the leader of your life. This is what the only way that it has to be on his terms is the bottom line. And followers just do this. They follow. They obey. It sounds very simple, and it sounds like, well, gee, let's get into something important in the message. But I'm afraid too many times what's happened is people have taken on the name of follower without taking on the attitude and the mindset of a follower. You know, you can try to obey what the Bible teaches without loving Christ. A lot of people do. But I'm going to tell you this, you cannot love Christ without striving to obey. Let me say it one more time. You can try to obey and try to do what you consider right things, what the Bible teaches. You can try to obey without loving Jesus. But you cannot love Jesus without striving to obey. I'll give you a couple of quick examples. We use this every so often, giving and forgiving. Do you know there are a number of people that are pretty generous givers? Bill Gates recently, his father passed away. And his father was the lead of an organization that Bill and Melinda Gates started, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they have billions of dollars they're giving away. They're very, very generous. But that doesn't mean that they're Christians. There are a lot of people that are not Christians that are very generous in their giving. They have other reasons for it. But if you're a follower of Jesus, generous giving is just part of your lifestyle. And it's not an option. Jesus made that very clear, that where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. And we're to be giving, we're to be conduits of God's blessing to other people's lives. That's why when you look at tithing or giving dedicating the first 10% of your income to the church, to ministry, that's just a standard. and it's actually a minimum threshold, but it's many people that don't know Jesus give, but genuine followers of Jesus all do, and they do it generously. Forgiving. There are people that are not followers of Christ that have learned to forgive others. They have chosen to forgive because they realize it's good for them. It frees them up. I mean, there's a benefit to forgiving. But genuine followers do it because they're obeying Jesus, and it's not an option for them. You and I are to be learning and to growing in this thing of forgiving others. It's just part of our life. It's part of the way we're called to live. And when people see my life and yours, when those that are watching us see us, those that are investigating the faith, they should see in us this generosity of giving, and they should see this open heart and freedom, willingness to forgive. I mean, this is just the hallmark of those of us that know Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We used to have this on t-shirts that we used when we baptized, and it says, "This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." So the moment I become a follower, my old way of living with me in charge, the standards that I always operated with, those are now put aside. And I'm learning to live this brand new life. And it's a new way of living where everything revolves around my devotion to Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that's off limits here. It means my values, my beliefs, my attitudes, my behaviors, all of that now is to be aligned with, what does Jesus say? What does he want for me? Colossians 2, 6 and 7. I love this passage. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord," Lord meaning he's my boss, he's my CEO, he's my commander-in-chief. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." There is a picture here that this relationship with Jesus is an ongoing, alive thing. And it is where I've turned my life living on my own and with my own priorities. I've now built my life on him, and I've built my roots into this relationship with him. And I'm learning a new way to operate. I've got new resources to live my life with now. And as my faith grows stronger and stronger, I'll change and I'll grow. I'll become more and more like Jesus. And the fuel for this, the reason that I do it, I'm not doing it to earn anything. I'm doing it out of just sheer gratitude and thanksgiving for all Jesus has already done. I mean, this is what we've been called to. This is the life that we've been called into. And growing and changing as a follower of Jesus is normal and healthy, motivated by gratitude and thankfulness. Never with this grousing kind of thing, oh, I've got to do this because Jesus. No, I'm doing it because he saved me from living life on my own terms. And so I'm now giving up going my own way to go his way. It's an amazing deal. And it's something that we have got to hang on to and grasp, or we can lose it quickly. Eagerness and willingness to change and grow is a distinguishing mark of a genuine follower. Let me say it again. Eagerness and willingness to change and to grow in my life is a distinguishing mark of a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. It is a matter of progression, not perfection. None of us have it all together. And those of us that pretend to, what a shame. Because we're sending a message to a watching world that somehow we can fake it. This idea of faking it has never been what Jesus wanted. He's wanted us to be open and honest about our life, our strengths and our weaknesses, and to address those weaknesses with his help, motivated by our love and our gratitude toward him and wanting to present to a watching world a picture of what God can do to a surrendered life. Eager to grow and to develop in all areas of my life. That's the sign of a true follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you a passage. It's a little bit longer. It is actually what I've given you for the take-home sheet this week to spend some real time. I've given you some guidance on how to walk through a passage like this and to apply it. But I'm going to read it through. I want you to listen to it. And the second time, I've got a specific thing I want you to do. So listen to this. This is Ephesians 4. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on you while you're angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I'm going to read this one more time, and I want you to watch for some things. And again, this is going to be part of your homework in the take-home sheet. But I want you to watch for the action words, the things that are not just statements of belief, but they're a call to action, of change, to eagerly and willingly grow in our faith and our trust in Christ. They're very practical, and they're all motivated by thankfulness and gratitude. Also notice, too, I used two examples earlier about giving and forgiving. You can not be a follower of Jesus and strive to be generous in your giving and forgiving. But if you are a follower of Christ, these are absolute essentials. You'll see this in this passage. So here we go again. Since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Throw it away. It's like an old set of clothes. Get rid of it. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. In other words, they're damaged. Get rid of them. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Remember, our actions all stem from what we think and the attitudes we have toward life and others. Put on, again, this is an active word, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on you while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is all extremely practical. It's very, very real, and it fits in the lives you and I have day to day. And it covers every area that we have. Some of you are watching this from home, and you've got some relationships with family members right now that are strained. Some of you have been struggling in certain areas, and it's because you've been holding on to a way of thinking and a way of wanting to have life on your own terms, and you've struggled, you haven't felt close to God, and a big reason is because you haven't moved close to him by choosing to obey. Here is I'm going to give you a reminder of what Jesus promises. You know, I mentioned earlier about the golf professional and the finance professional and the person in training professional, that they will guarantee results if we will obey. Jesus guarantees some things for you and me. In fact, he guarantees that he will develop in us some abilities that right now may seem very, very distant to us, or maybe may seem, oh, there's no way that'll happen. But listen to what he promises by his Holy Spirit if you and I choose to trust him and obey. The Holy Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen again. This is what the Holy Spirit, who Jesus gives to everyone the moment they accept him as their Savior and Lord. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and it happens when we trust and obey Christ: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Guaranteed. And if you and I are not seeing these growing and developing in our lives, and if we've definitely, if we've seen them wane, then the problem was with you and me. The problem comes back to our attitude toward Jesus, our willingness to obey, our willingness to follow. You know, when you're trying to live in two worlds, I'm trying to live, I want all that Jesus offers, but I want to live my way. It's like sitting on a fence. All you're going to do is get splinters in your rear. It'll be miserable. Obeying Jesus is the pathway to the joy and the freedom and all that he offers. So here's a question. What is an attitude or a value or a belief or a behavior that you've been working to change and grow? Now, I'm going to ask you this, because if you don't have an answer, if you don't have a, well, I've really been working on this, or I've seen this change, if you don't have that, there's reason to be concerned. And I'm not saying just changing just for change's sake, but you understand what the Bible teaches, you understand what Jesus wants. And so you can look and say, here's an area in my life, in my thinking, my attitudes, my values, my behavior that I've been changing. If you can't think of one, if you can't think of one recently, then you should have real concern about your spiritual health, because healthy people grow. Healthy people are changing. And it's just the nature of this. We looked at that passage before in Colossians that, you know, our roots are growing deeper and they're getting more firmly connected with Jesus. I decided I was going to give an example for me, because it's one thing to talk about this, it's another whether we're living it out. Over the past several months, one of the things for me has been prayer, and specifically in areas of prayer where I have attitudes or like immediate internal reactions that, if I'm not careful, can take root in me and can be very difficult to deal with. And again, this is internal. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And so I've been realizing that in me there were some areas, especially related to patience or impatience, that were just, I was more touchy, I was more sensitive to things, it was easy for me to fall into anger. In that passage in Galatians that I read earlier about what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you and me, this idea of patience, the word patience there means to hang in there for the long haul, especially with people. Old translations would be long-suffering with others, but it means that to not immediately judge, condemn, give up on, get angry, blast, whatever it is that impatience looks like for you. A couple of examples for me recently. One is yesterday I was going to a doctor appointment. I was on 495, and there was a car that was in front of me in the left lane going ridiculously slow. I'm not going to say how fast I was going. I'm just going to say this car was holding me back. And what I realized, and I've been realizing this more recently, is just how quickly I get impatient and judge others. And what God's been teaching me is to begin praying for the people behind the wheel in those cars. God, they may be distracted. They may be nervous to be on the beltway. God, they may be burdened with all kinds of things. There may be something going on with them that is just horribly difficult for them to handle. And I've begun to the way God's been helping me grow in this is learning to pray for others rather than just display my irritation, my anger. And a lot of this goes on under the hood for me. It's not something I necessarily show, but it's happening. And so he's teaching me this to begin caring about the people that I'm tending toward being impatient with. Another was a customer service rep. I had an issue with something Becky and I had. I was meeting with a person and I didn't like the way they were treating me. And I immediately jumped to some conclusions about this person and their character. And again, God was just saying, instead of that, what I'd like for you to do is pray for them. I want you to be patient and I want you to pray for them. Now, this doesn't mean that to overlook things that are wrong. It doesn't mean that there aren't times to confront and to address problems, but it means attacking problems and not persons. And my impatience had been causing me to categorize people in a way that is just not like Jesus. And surely if Jesus used the same standard on me, I would be completely lost. So what is it that God's trying to get your attention on? The take-home sheet this week, I've asked you to go through this passage that we read and to show you how to kind of work through that as you pray and consider, what is God wanting me today in my life? What is God trying to help me grow in? It may be even asking, if you've got the courage, ask some people around you, is there an area you feel that I really ought to pay some attention to? But nevertheless, if you and I are genuinely following Jesus, there's going to be an eagerness in us to grow and develop in our faith. And this is a hallmark for followers of Christ. And it's something that a watching world, boy, if they see that, if they see us openness, see an openness and a willingness to change in us in a Godward direction, wow, what a difference that could make. I've asked Wendy Hunt to pray for us. Wendy leads a ministry at New Hope called The Landing, which works with our middle and high school students. She's done a phenomenal job, her and her team. So I've asked her if she would pray for us as we look to see how can we put this that we've learned today into practice. Wendy?
Will you join me in prayer today? Father God, I thank you so much for our time spent together, Lord. I am filled each week and every time that I take time to stop and really just truly praise you. Lord, I know that I am sinful and that I have had many faults, but I know that through you I can be healed and in you I find my hope. Lord, I praise you, for you alone I worship. I pray that you will grow deep roots within our souls, Lord, so that we can continue to live out the life that you have intended for us. Lord, fill us with love and compassion and kindness and help us to see where we can continue to know you and continue to grow and continue to just seek out what it is that you want for us in each and everything that we do, Lord. Lord, it is through you alone that we are founded and it is through you that we grow strong. And so I thank you, I praise you, and I am forever filled with gratitude for you. In your son's name, we pray.